Let me see. We have been on doing a sermon series using Wesley's guide for worrying about money. And he said, to sum up, earn all you can, save all you can, give all you can. And in that, he spent, my guess is the sermon's about 45 minutes long when he preached it, that this is based on, so I'm not repeating it with you today. Now, I get that I'm going to talk to you today about saving money and resources, doing good things with your resources to an audience that has some folks in it that are retired. Raise your hand if you're retired. I had folks come out the last Sunday after one of the services and say, you do realize you were talking to us about earning money and we've all retired, right? And off they went. Yes, I do get that. And my only hope is that when I have sermons like this in front of an audience who is mostly retired, is that they'll share it with their grandchildren. Because don't you wish when you were your grandchildren's age you had been a little wiser with money? So maybe there's something that I'll throw against the wall today and you'll go, ooh, that's good. We should use that with our grandchildren. I still remember, and it fits this scripture lesson very well, I still remember one of the lessons I learned in Boy Scouts 150 years ago, which was every time you went camping that you wanted to make sure you left the campsite a better place than when you arrived. So you were steward of that area, and you made sure that you didn't leave. Essentially, it was don't trash the place and just abandon all your trash there. And I've tried to live my days as if every place I've been is another campsite, and I want to leave it a better place. And maybe I can use that for my lifetime, and when it's time for me to go, that I have left it a slightly better place than when I found it. So I carry a certain level of responsibility in some of the things I do and how I use my resources. It fits this scripture lesson very well. Essentially, we're told if God gives you five, and the place you get is rated a five, that when you give it back to God, it should be better than a five. And if you don't leave it a five or better, then God's going to give it to somebody else who's going to take care of it better. Did anybody else get shocked when they heard that a talent might be worth $1.6 million? Kind of changes the story a little bit. And to the first guy, he gave $8 million. All right. I got a little more worrying to do. Oh, if only somebody would give me $8 million. All I can think of when I think about lottery-type stuff is not how I can double my money or God's money, but how little of it I can spend, because there will be some spending. When I tell you you can't take it with you, how many of you think that I've got some more spending to do? I don't want you to beat yourself up about that. I think, though, that you should recognize that our culture is saying that to us. Rather than saying, leave the world in a better place, it's more like, earn all you can, spend all you can, stop here, period. Have you ever run out of money, you go into the ATM machine, and all of a sudden there wasn't any money there? At any point in your life, did you ever run out of money? Did you have to call home at any point in time? You can fess up. This is yes, this is no. My guess is it's more than just me. There were a couple of times. I can remember in college that there was one day, I think it was my freshman year, so I'm still learning. And I'm like walking to the mailbox and going, God, if you're real, I need a check today. The bizarre part was that there was a scholarship letter in my box that day, so I actually did. It wasn't a check. But there actually was a response that kind of meant, all right, I won't play that game anymore. We are working on a stewardship series. Next week is our Commitment Sunday. My hope is that you'll use this week to pray about your commitment and come next week able to share your giving goals so that we can make a plan for our spending process over the course of the next fiscal year. Our fiscal year begins July 1st, so we do it a little odd compared to some other churches and probably compared to the government and some other places, but that's all right. We're odd. You're just going to have to live with it. It is hard to save. I don't think I'm telling you anything new, but the fact is we can't take it with us. And it turns out something we didn't realize is that our kids and our grandkids don't really want what we consider treasures. They look at it and they see trash where we see treasure. And so, you know, and having been through this recently with getting all the stuff from my parents and all the stuff that they treasured from their parents, I now have college yearbooks from the 30s of my grandparents because my parents didn't get rid of them. And they have no meaning to me other than I don't want to discard stuff that feels like the love I have for my grandparents. And so right now I still have albums that somebody's going to throw away. I have no biological children. It will be trash someday. All right, let me see if you can, this will resonate with you. We are not the eternal owners of our property. So we can't take it with us. We are temporary stewards of resources that belong to God. In calling us to save all we can, John Wesley is not inviting us to become hoarders. He is challenging us to make wise use of our money in ways that are consistent with God's purposes. Some folks take their money and their resources and their time, and they gather stuff and collect stuff, and they feel safe because they've not thrown out anything all their life. I don't know whether you've got anybody in your family that does a little bit of hoarding. Some folks call it collecting. But my younger brother was committed to recycling. He just never took anything to the curb. So he saved every piece of cardboard that ever came into his house, but it never got recycled. I don't understand that, but it was a lot of fun after he passed to take all of his recycling out to the curb. So we want to be careful about what our brain is doing, whether it's saying I save so that I can have more stuff or I save so that I can make more difference. Jim Harnish, in his book, Earn, Save, Give, talks about the word prudence. Does anybody use the word prudence anymore? I think we use the word frugality and thriftiness more than we use the word prudence, but essentially it's long-term wisdom with your stuff, with your resources. It's that with great resources comes great responsibility. One of the things, if you're going to plan for long term, one of the suggestions is that you plant trees because you will not probably see the fruit of those labors, but generations later will get tons of payback in fruit from the little seed invested early. How do we pass on that kind of wisdom? The problem is that we take generational hits. The generation that walked through the Depression and the generation that walks through a recession, they changed their mindset because of those things. Did anybody else have family members who had more toilet paper saved in their house than you could fit in a closet? I remember how, I'm going to call it frugal, how frugal my grandparents were because they knew that that's what it took to survive the Depression. That was a skill set. In the end, all the game pieces go back in the box and you can't take it with you. And so we want to have some strategies that allow us to be wise as we push against the messages we get from our culture to go out and spend more, because somehow or another that car is going to get you that girl. Or that diamond is going to bring you happiness. Or both of you are going to be fabulous together if you take just the right pill. I want you to think about words like simple and enough. To live simply so that others can simply live. Do not forget that the passage of Scripture we read today about the talents is followed immediately. It says with that those folks need to essentially double up what God gives to them. The next thing on the storyline is the sheep and the goats. So that if you don't remember that, sometimes you run into folks who have great need. It's in those folks you see Christ and you care for Christ by feeding and clothing. So it's not get great resources so you can spend it on yourself and live lavishly. It's so that we can respond in the ways that God calls us to respond. I don't know about you, but we have enough stuff, and we've gotten rid of 98% of our stuff. Stuff that does not fulfill us. So I've taken Financial Peace University and taught portions of Financial Peace University, and I know that at Coronado they used to do Crown Ministries, which is a personal finance type small group and study. The wisdom that they give us is to have an emergency fund and then to save enough so that you've got 6 months in case you get put out of a job. Those don't make any difference to folks who are retired. They say you're supposed to give 10% to God, give 10% to savings, and live on 80%. But to be quite honest, these days you live a lot longer than we used to. And so if you work for 40 years and then you retire for 20 years and there's a little bit of inflation, it probably is you give 10% to God, save 30% when you're growing up, and live on 60%. So tell your grandchildren to track your expenses. To set goals, and if you're married, to set goals together, to set a budget together, and then go back to it and look at your expenses again and refine your budget so that you figure out where you're wasting and where you're wisely spending. But begin with the end, your main aim for your life in mind. I believe we ought to save and we ought to spend wisely. So if you've got this great need to spend some money, buy a thermostat that's programmable. Because in about 2 years, it will have paid you back all the money you spent, and then you'll be just saving money. Put more insulation in your house. In Florida, more insulation saves you money. Buy LED light bulbs. A few years ago, I found this online website that allows you to work through your finances differently. It's called Mint. Has anybody heard of Mint? Anybody else use Mint? Just me. When I went and looked at with the pension folks about how we were doing in terms of our preparation for retirement, I showed the retirement folks Mint, and they said, oh, you've got this taken care of. Because I always know where my retirement money and accounts are doing, and it actually lets me set a goal for how much I want to have each year in my retirement, and it tells me whether I'm on course, whether I'm early, or whether I'm late. Although some days it's not good to look at. It also tells me my net worth, not just my cash flow. And so I've learned to watch investments differently and property differently. And I try to increase both. Financial Peace and Crown Ministries, I believe, tell you to, if you've got a problem with spending, they tell you to use cash. Get rid of your credit cards and make envelopes. This is how much I'm going to do for food. This is how much for rent. This is how much for gas. This is how much for entertainment. And therefore, you always have this hard deadline. But if you use plastic, tell your grandchildren to watch how they use plastic. Average credit card debt in the United States is about $10,000 a family. And that doesn't include educational debt. And that doesn't include mortgage debt. If you buy something on credit and you don't pay it off right away, but if you pay the minimum, tell your grandchildren, if they pay just the minimum payment, they'll pay, let's say it costs $100 for a particular item. You'll pay the $100, and then before you're done paying it off, it'll be another $120 to have paid off that $100. You use cash, $100. You use credit and pay it off slowly, $220 for what you buy on a credit card. Is it worth $220? Trying to become wise in how we save and how we spend. Set some goals, make a plan, teach your children and grandchildren about simplicity and saving and giving. We do the same thing in the church. We work to try to save appropriately. I believe that every church ought to have a fund that allows them to replace their roof every 25 years and their air conditioners on a certain schedule so that each year you're setting aside that much. It's hard for churches to do that. But the churches that are successful long-term in fulfilling their mission are wise in the way they use their resources. There's a mission, a purpose, a goal for every penny. We don't save for its own sake. We save so that we can love God, love others, and transform the world. I think I was blessed. I grew up in a family who came to church regularly, and my mother was a preacher's kid, and my grandfather, when he passed, had notes that how much he had fallen behind on his tithe. Any year he had a year where he didn't tithe. So he had a running scorecard for trying to set a goal to tithe. When I got my first job, I was the assistant janitor at my church. And when you have discretionary money at 14, 15, 16 years old, it's easy to tithe. And so I learned to tithe very early on. And so I learned to save. And lucky for me, first couple of years that I was in the United Methodist pension program, I put money in my pension. So we're not scrambling since we hit 50. Time is on your side. Invest early. Pay money into retirement early. It's just hard to do that. So the lesson maybe that we have for the retired audience is consider your will or your estate plan. Maybe that's a place. One of the examples in Jim Harnish's book was a couple that said to their three children, just so you know, you should expect to get 1/4 of our estate. They had a fourth child, another heir, they claimed, as the church, so they could give back. We have an endowment that people have put money into it that they call our perpetual pledge account, which means every year, every month, we get money from those folks who have invested and the principal is intact, and every year we just get interest put into our budget. How cool is that? First place I've ever been where they had a perpetual pledge endowment account. Want to make a difference in the world? Pay for the electricity for the church for every year the rest of its life by putting money in the endowment as a perpetual pledge. We try to be wise with our money at the church. We invest in and are careful about our spending. We know that every dollar we spend on something is money we can't feed somebody with. I know that every dollar we spend frivolously is money we can't spend on our grandchildren's education. If you know what your goals are, what the end is that you're aiming for, then all of a sudden you have purpose to some sacrifices that you'll make. If you had been given 5 talents, $8 million at the beginning of your, let's say, productive years in your life, could you give back to God double? Are you making that kind of difference? That's a big story. The key is not to bury what you're given. to do something purposeful. How will you do that? Next Sunday is Commitment Sunday. I want you to pray this week about what it is that you can do so that the church can do what it does, so that the community of New Smyrna Beach and the places that we have impact. Did you know that we're one of the top three churches given to Air Guatemala? Or that we're one of few that does something in Guatemala for Salud y Paz? We are probably the number one giving church in the state of Florida, in the Cuba-Florida Covenant. We probably support Cuba better than any other church in the state. Because we have a purpose. We have a heart for that kind of thing. We do all kinds of other things. If you took us away, home would be in trouble. Lots of other places would not be able to fulfill their mission. My hope is that you'll consider increasing your pledge in a way that allows you to feel like you're doing more for God, returning to God a portion. And I hope you'll fill out a pledge commitment card and bring it next Sunday. It may be easier to think about it then than now. If you didn't get one in the mail, we have some in the back for you to pick up, and we'll have more next week. But I do hope you will take that seriously. We'll walk them up. We'll put them in a basket. We'll pray over them, and then we'll start the process of planning for next year's mission and purpose. Every penny, every dollar has a purpose. Let us pray. Gracious God, Wesley reminded us not to waste our money, not to throw our money into the sea. Help us likewise to not waste. And where we see that we have been wasteful, don't allow us to linger on it too long, but inspire us to make a difference, to change our ways in a way that allow us to do more so that we might earn, save, and give more, that we might change the world through our giving. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.